Christian warriors, faith living, Bible study lesson number 19. Today is March 5th, 2013. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Before we begin, let's pause for prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit. You have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your Word will not return void, will accomplish all you designed for. We ask you to sanctify and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, sing and so come. Lord Jesus, amen. All right, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, I want to read you the William Kelly translation. William Kelly, outstanding Bible teacher of the 19th century, early 20th century. For the rest, my brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the panoply of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. On this account, take up the panoply of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having fully done all, to stand. Stand there, for having girded about your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Besides all, having taken up the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and receive the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. With all prayer and supplication, praying in every season in the Spirit, thereunto watch with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given me in the opening of my mouth with boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may be bold as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs, what I do, Titius, shall be known to all to you, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, whom I sent to you this very thing, that you may know our matters, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. All right, back in verse 10, it says, because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the forces of evil in the heavenly places. The previous verse ordered believers to put on the whole armor of God so that they would be able to stand against the sinister methods, the military tactics of the devil. Verse 12 opens with the Greek conjunction hoti, with the upbreathing H on it, meaning because, setting forth the reason why the believers must clothe themselves in all of the God-provided armor. If our struggle was against blood and flesh, that is against other members of the Adamic human race, man-to-man combat on a plane, then it would be fought with human armor. Where Paul specifically says it is not on this level. Believers are not engaged in a struggle, pale, P-A-L-E, a wrestling match or a contest against blood and flesh, but against rulers. Now, listen, we've gone over this before some. We're doing a more careful exegesis of it this time. To get to you across to you the full concept of what we've got doing here. Ook, O-U-K. Becomes the key of what we got. Ook is the absolute definite negative adverb. Plus the verb, third person singular, present active indicative of I'm, E-I-M-I. The verb of status quo. The verb to be. Present tense, continuous action at the present time, active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb. Indicative mood is the reality of it. Because we absolutely and definitely do not. The active voice, the subject, that's us. We're not the one taking on the action. The indicative mood, reality of it. Russell, as we said, Paula, P-L-E. With it we have, first of all, though, Human, H-E-M-I-N, H-E-M-I-N, which is the first person plural, a pronoun, followed by the nominative, masculine singular, definite article, which, as you know, for those of you that were around in the old days, for the overhead projector is simply the eta, eta, the long e. And Paula, P-A-L-E, as we said, the nominative feminine singular noun, meaning wrestle, conflict, contest, struggle. We're not engaged in a conflict, using the military term for it, a struggle, using the human term, a wrestling match, a contest, against flesh and blood. Literally in the Greek is blood and flesh, against is pros, P-R-O-S, the accusative preposition, plus hama, H-A-I-M-A, meaning blood, against blood. Connective conjunction, chi, K-A-I, sarki, S-A-R-K-A, flesh. Against blood and flesh, instead of following that, we have L-L-A, hypoordinating conjunction. But against pros, again, the accusative pronoun, tas, T-A-S, which is the accused's feminine plural definite article, R-K-A-R-C-H-A-S, against the rulers. We point out to you already in this study, and we'll remind you, translated rulers, R-K's plural noun speaks of those who, in fact, are in first place, the principal ones who occupy eminent positions. Use the rulers of countries in the classical Greek. We'll give you a little more detail than we have in the past. Recently, Jesus used this word in both the plural and singular of earthly rulers in Luke 12, 11. Luke 12, 11. And when they bring you into the synagogue and the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer, or what you shall say. Luke 20, verse 20. And they watched him and sent four spies, which they should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him up unto powers and the authority of the governor. Paul uses this word several times in both the singular and the plural, ever only once specifically with reference to earthly rulers. That's Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind, be subject to principals and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. In this verse, in chapter 3, Ephesians, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It's used in reference to rulers in the heavenly sphere. Look at Colossians 1, 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. The other passages, use it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 again, for the angelic world, fallen angels far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Speaks to them. Therefore, we see that Paul uses this primarily referring to heavenly rulers. In the most context, we still have the problem of knowing how the heavenly rulers dominate the minds of the earthly rulers. Second, let's consider the meaning. The Greek translated noun is ousios, E-Z-O-U-S-I. A.S. Exousius. I want you to think through this so you've had this before. Because our conflict is absolutely and definitely not against blood and flesh, it is against members of the Adamic human race, but against all rulers, against the authority. Pros, again, we have, P-R-O-A-S, accusative pronoun, plus the accusative feminine plural, definite article, tas, T-A-S, plus E-Z-O-U-S-I-E-S, the accusative feminine plural noun, exousius, which we translate authorities, the second group. Plural form of the word, as it were here, refers to those who have the right to govern, the power to act. Hence, the best English equivalent has been authorities, pretty much accepted over the years. It's used in the classical Greek to depict, listen carefully, as government magistrates and officials. The noun is commonly used in the Synoptic Gospels regarding those who had the authority. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. The authority, the power. Luke 12:5. But I am forewarned, for whom ye shall fear, for him which hath killed, hath power to cast into hell, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Luke 23:7. And as soon as he knew that he belonged in the Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. Paul uses it to depict civil government authorities in Romans 13, 1-3. Let every soul will be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. In Titus 3:1. Put them in mind and to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. The authorities. Paul used it to depict then civil government. Paul himself was endued with authority from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore I write these things unto you, absent lest I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. He uses it to depict Satan as the authority in the air, in Ephesians 2:2. For in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Compare that one to Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Twice Paul uses the word with reference to heavenly authorities. In 3:10, to the intent that now into the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known the church, the manifold wisdom of God, referring to elect holy angels. 6:12, in relationship to the fallen angelic world. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now compare it to 1 Peter 3:22. Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject unto him. God has the world of the angelic world is organized. Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, organized according to Colossians 1, during the dispensation of the triune Godhead, eternity past. This includes, as best we can conclude, using the term for angelic as stars, representing star systems, star worlds with rulership, that the universe around us was organized as the living quarters and functioning area for many angelic governments. Each solar system appears to be, star system appears to be, an angelic country in God's overall plan of creation. This is a logical deduction based upon the use of the terms for authorities and powers for angelic world, plus the use of the term stars. When one-third of the stars fell, Melvin means that one-third of the star governments followed Lucifer in rebellion against God the Son and against God the Father. When Satan sought to put himself on the throne that was sitting at the right hand of the Father empty, the throne the Father had designed one day to place his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his hypostatic resurrected human body upon which he did at the Second Advent session in glory. This world is highly organized out there. The holy angels organized. Satan took over the fallen angelic world and attempted to hold it together accordingly. He doesn't do a good job. Now, all right. So what it is we're in conflict with, against, but against rulers, against the authorities. Against. Again, we have pros, P-R-O-S, the accusative pronoun. Us, the accusative, need a plural definite article, ta, T-A here. Then we have an adverb, I'm sorry, an adjective, a pronominal adjective, the accusative, need a plural, pneumatika, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-A, which we translate with the definite article there as the spiritual host. Test, T-E-S, is the genitive feminine singular definite article, and with it comes poneros, P-O-N-E-R-I-E-S. Against the I looked down the world rulers and I'm looking at the one below that I missed. The spiritual host. It should be pros, P-R-O-S. My apology there. I'm looking, trying to see down through my bifocals here correctly. The accusative pronoun pros, ta, T-A. This time we have tous, T-O-U-S. We should have had, I missed this one, and looked at the wrong line of my Greek text. Accusative, masculine, plural, definite article, tous, T-O-U-S. Plus, Cosmokratos is next, K-O-S-M-A-K-R-A-T-O-R-E-S. Against the world rulers, and then we have the genitive, either saying a definite article, to, T-O-U, skutos, K-S-K-O-T-O-U-S, genitive, either saying a noun. The world rulers of darkness, before we get to the spiritual host of evil, my apology. Now, Paul is affirming that believers are locked in battle with the spiritual forces of evil. Ta, pneumatika, tas, valerios may very literally be rental, the spirituals of evil. This obviously means spirit being the host, fallen angelic armies, forces that belong to and serve evil. John in, excuse me, my throat for a second. John inextricably uses this in a unique way, linking it to the devil and evil in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, an important verse that must not be missed. He that committeth sin is of the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy can also be changed undo the works of the devil. Tying together these satanic evil forces, the sphere in which the spiritual powers operate is in heavenly places, in Toys, Hipporanios, as we gave you, started to give you a moment ago. We have in the Greek then next, following the spiritual host of evil, I'm part of the world rulers of darkness. This we have, and tutu goes with that, the definite, T-O-U-T-O-U, the definite genitive, neuter singular. That we translate this phrase, Literally, then, we have against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of darkness. Power rulers, authorities, the world rulers of darkness, of this. And then PROS again, P-R-O-S, the accusative pronoun, plus ta, T-A this time, the accusative unit of plural definite article, plus the M-I-T-K-A, we started saying a moment ago, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-A, T-I-K-A, accusative unit of plural pronominal adjective, plus tas, T-E-S, the genitive feminine singular definite article, plus poneros, P-O-N-E-R-I-A-S, genitive feminine singular noun, against the spiritual host. Tas, T-E-S. Genitive feminine singular definite article, plus poneros, spiritual host of evil. And then the phrase in the heavenlies. Prepositional phrase, the dative locative, in the sphere of, the dative, in the sphere of, toys, T-O-I-S, the dative neuter plural definite article, and then E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S, dative neuter plural pronominal adjective, translate literally in the heavenlies. In the heavens. We're facing with the concept of the fact that these are our enemies. Attention to the believers are engaged in the struggle. The world powers, the cosmo kratos, kratos, comes from combining the word cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, and the world mighty one. An Egyptian inscription ascribes this title to an emperor. This is the only time in the New Testament, therefore, we must establish its meaning on the basis of two words which constitute it. Included that Paul is referring to human world powers who dominate the nations, but the statement of darkness, the spiritual dimension, removes that out of the way to those who would argue it. The authority of darkness appearing in Luke 22:53 and Colossians 1:13 clearly refers to the devil's domains. This is the word darkness. Skoutos is closely tied to the devil, and since he is the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, his image of God, should shine in them. Now, we look up then and we identify ourselves with a group of people, world powers, Kratio, world forces, world dominion, world mighty ones, who are fallen angels. Functioning in and through the devil's world, the spiritual dimension, the phrase, the authority of darkness, in Luke 22:53 and Colossians 1:13, his domains. He is the god of this age. Skoutos, darkness, is closely identified with Lucifer, Satan, the devil. It follows the world powers of him, belong to him, and are possessed by him. They're undoubtedly his henchmen, fallen angels who influence world rulers. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lie in wickedness. Literally, should be translated in the wicked one. We're going to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul's main emphasis in this verse is that the real behind-the-scenes enemies of the believers is the devil and his cohorts. This is the reason we must put on the armor of the supreme God, for we are engaged in conflict with a superhuman being, Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness. Verse 13, then, tells us, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and done all to stand. As we said, we went forward and we backed up, a closer look at this, hoping that we could not lose the forest from the trees. The verse opens with the Greek preposition dia. D-I-A. The accusative pronoun, and with it tuto, T-O-U-T-O, which is the accusative neuter singular. Dative, pronominal adjective, and the verb A-N-A-L-A-B-E-T-E, ana labete, is the second person plural. The second aorist, active, imperative of the verb analambano, A-N-A-L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Analambano. Now, the Greek preposition dia, used with the accusative case, we translate on account of. The thought is that on account of the fact that our struggle is against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, therefore, we need to take on up the armor of God. Our battle is against a spiritual enemy, therefore it's imperative that we fight it with spiritual armor. That which God has provided for us. The aorist tense would be the culminative aorist. We need to have the armor of God on at all times. We put on the whole armor of God, keep on the whole armor of God. Take it up. Be dressed in combat gear 24/7, 365. The active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb. We have to use our volition to do it. And the imperative mood is the mood of command. Ana labete, derived from ana, A-N-A, and lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O, and literally means to take up or receive it. The moment of salvation, God the Father issued to us a requisition order to report to the supply room and pick up our armor. Soldiers have to learn to do that. Most Christians are AWOL from the Christian warfare. They don't even know they're soldiers in the Royal Army of God. They take this as some kind of cute little comic strip picture God has drawn in the Bible or something. Instead, we have the verbal picture of the believers picking up and receiving from God the Father their spiritual armor. The Greek noun rendered all the armor. Panoplien, means complete, total, full armor which God has provided for waging the spiritual war. So we have the accusative feminine singular definite article, ton, T-E-N, plus panoplien, P-A-N-O, as we said, P-L-I-E-N, accusative feminine, accusative feminine singular noun. Look at Luke 11, 22. Luke 11:22. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all the armor wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. Why is Paul, the apostle, instructing the readers of the Ephesians letter, which is the seventh church in Lycus Valley, that they may be able to, that they can pick up armor that will allow them to stand again the evil day? But they've got to figure it out for themselves. Verse 13 then. Therefore, on account of the fact that our struggle is against fallen angelic spirit beings, angelic creatures of evil, take up for yourselves the whole armor, ton, panoplian, and with it though we have two theou, and this is the key, the genitive masculine singular definite article plus theou, theou, genitive masculine singular noun. It means of God the Father. The armor doesn't belong to us, it's issued to us. The armor is the property at all times of God the Father. God the Father has designed it and planned it for us. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, you're telling God the Father there's something he has for you that you don't want. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down above from the Father of lights. There was no variables, neither shadow of turning. The gift came down from God the Father. Pick it up at the ordnance department. Pour it in the supply room for a uniform and the ordnance department for the weapons. It's waiting there for you. You have to go get the gear. It's the best there is. Hina follows next, H-I-N-A. In a subordinating conjunction, and it's going to give us the purpose. The use of the conjunction with the verb. Dune Thete, D-U-N-E-T-H-E-T-E, which is the second person plural aorist optative. I started to take, it's the first aorist passive subjunction is what I'm trying to tell you here. I got totally choked there for a second. I do apologize. The zeste is the second person plural, first aorist passive subjunctive of dunamai, D-U-N-A-M-A-I. The aorist passive subjunctive. You may be able, a passive voice. Subjunctive mood. Now remember, the subjunctive mood is a mood of potentiality or probability. The mood of potentiality or probability. You may or you may not. Many Christians never pick up and put on the whole armor of God. And you can't be partly dressed in combat gear. You've got to have it all. You've got to have it all. What Paul is instructing his readers to take up all the armor, the purpose is clear. Romina. In order that you may be able, you may have the ability, that you may have the strength to stand in the evil day. In order that you may be able. Remember, it's maybe you'll be able, maybe not. Only able if you're wearing the whole armor of God. A-N-T-I-S-T-E-N-A-I. Anatistani follows. And Anatistani is the aorist active infinitive. Anatistemi, A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It's the second aorist active infinitive. Now, we switch from a command to an infinitive used to express the purpose or express the results. The Greek infinitive translated to stand against antistenai comes from the preposition anti, A-N-T-I, and the verb histemi, H-I-S-T-E-M-I, and most literally means to stand against, to oppose, or to resist the evil day. This is the only time Paul uses the phrase the evil day, ta, emira, T-E-M-E-R-A, T-E, and then Ponera, P-O-N-E-R-A. We have to take this very specially. This is the only time it's used this way by Paul as the time we're to stand, which is the time, obviously, of the church age in which we live. But why, in this particular sense of the word, of the church age, which he's introducing back in Ephesians epistle in 61 A.D. when he is sitting in a jail, or home that he's been able to rent, but still under arrest as a jail, in a house arrest in Rome, with a shackle on him in which he is shackled 24/7 to a Roman soldier. He can't get away from this Roman soldier. He fully understands what is going on. Wherefore, to be able to withstand in the evil day, as your King James translates it, it's the dative pronoun, in, dative locative again, ta, T-E, dative feminine singular definite article, plus hemera, H-E-M-E-R-A, dative feminine singular noun, in the day, then ta, T-E, which is the dative feminine singular definite article again, plus panera, P-O-N-E-R-A, dative feminine singular adjective, the day of evil. The day of evil. Now, we cannot affirm and declare and predict that he's speaking of some future day. The day of wrath, as some would argue. Look at Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasured up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, we can't refer this to a future day of wrath this way, as some would argue. In view of the entire context surrounding this phrase and the fact that it relates to believers living in the dispensation of the grace of God the Father, also known as the dispensation of the royal family of God, the dispensation of the mystical body of Christ, the dispensation of the redeemed church universal. The evil day is the present age of Galatians 1:4. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, literally evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Living in a world totally surrounded by evil, what do you expect? People are panicking. The other on Monday, the stock market went falling down, tumbling down a good bit. The Dow Jones Industrial Averages, which is what people watch, so they're not they're only a small portion of what goes on in the world market on any given day. But they're what people are attracted to because they've been brainwashed and they keep their eyes on them. Brainwashed, of course, by the Wall Street Journal that were part of from the start with the so-called Dow Jones Industrial Average. But we're down. Why? Because Putin sent Russian troops in to occupy the Crimea, and everybody's waving their swords and screaming for war in the Ukraine. The Ukraine bothers me very much. We have missionary support workers in the Ukraine we're concerned about. Friends, long-standing. We've got a pastor friend of ours in the state of Washington getting ready to make another trip to Ukraine. He spent a number of years over there. The health problems brought him back as a missionary, and he's getting ready to make a special trip over there here if everything goes right. Email from him that he'd be leaving here this month. Another friend of ours, son, who spent several years in the Ukraine, also both of them working with long-time friend of ours through Operation Grace World Missions, or acquaintance, I should say, maybe not friend, but acquaintance. This is hard sometimes to connect, you know, you don't want to use a term intimately in the air when you don't see people very limited times over the years, but someone we've known about and followed their missionary journey for years, their wives are in the Ukraine. We have a pastor acquaintance, Baptist pastor from the area south of Seattle, who's Pierce County, former Coast Guardsman of about, I think, 9 years, whose daughter and her husband are up in Kiev, and whose son and his wife are down in Odessa, and whose his son's wife's parents are down there also working at the school. So we've got connections in to the Ukraine. We also used to have neighbors here who were refugees from the Ukraine, and one of whom went back to do Christian work in the Ukraine for a little while after he got his American citizenship squared away over here and all. He stopped by to see me about a year ago, first time in many years I'd seen him. We're concerned about these areas, but what's happening in the world, but yet every day is an evil day in the day in which we live. Christian warfare is soul warfare, therefore is the believer controlled by the Holy Spirit, walking with Christ, making decisions and applying Bible doctrine, who has impact in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Every day is an evil day around us. So we observe here now, remember, that the armor Paul speaks of belongs to God the Father. It is that which he has provided for us as believers, as soldiers in the Royal Army of God. Every Christian is called to be a soldier in the Royal Army of God. We were enlisted, drafted, you could say, at the moment of salvation. having observed that the armor is able to enable believers to stand against the foe of the evil day, against the evil forces of Satan, we conclude this armor has been divinely designed by God the Father to adequately equip believers to be victorious. I have just finished reading both the biography of General Wainwright, not his autobiography, which I no longer have access to, but hope to one day, but also a book on Corregidor. The book on Corregidor goes back and gives a history starting with the Spanish-American War. A light history brings us up from the Spanish-American War. Includes information on the defense of the Philippines and the fall of Bataan in Corregidor. And then picks back up and deals with the rescue by that wonderful 503rd Regimental Combat Team. 503 Regimental Combat Infantry Team, who parachuted into the rock in an incredible way. They put the parachutes, landings down there, they had 9% injuries from it, including some killed in the drop. Because they were dropping on top of a mountain, top size is called there on Corregidor, which had been blasted and blasted away by bombs and stuff like that. It was broken ground and things like that. The actual jump field was very small. Lieutenant General E.M. Flanagan, Jr. points out that in the modern day, you could not test jump where they jumped in the 20-mile-an-hour winds they jumped into on that small strip for training purposes would never, ever have been allowed. But the 503 under Colonel Jones did it. Colonel Jones is one of those obscure heroes of mine. Went back for what they've done in days gone by on the field of battle. Colonel George M. Jones was a graduate of the United States Military Academy, which we often just simply call West Point, in 1935. He led the 503rd on the invasion of Corregidor. February 12th. They started flying the jump masters over to look at the area down there. And it must have been a shock, the jump masters, to see what they were fixing to be going into on the rock. Had to drop all the supplies in down there. And the first thing they got into trouble with was they didn't have enough water. A lot of their supplies went over the sides of the cliffs and the ocean were smashed, and others were smashed up and stuff. They were supposed to go in against what the United States government intelligence told them were about 800 Japanese. And I know there were more than 6,000 on the island, and they were banzai, and they were committed not to surrender. Held up in caves. Some of the caves we completely sealed up, blew up and shut them off in many of them. But some of them survived down there. And when the battle had been fought and the land had been, Corregidor had been settled down and the grave registration outfit was assigned to it, it was January the 1st, 1946. 4 months had passed since the surrender on the USS Missouri of the Japanese. Sergeant James Moon Mullins, the NCO, was assigned to the Grave Registration Company. was going about his business near the company command post when he looked up at a noise and was startled to see a formation of some 20 Japanese marching in formation toward him, waving surrender flag. The group was led by a young Japanese Army officer. Sergeant Mullen noted that the soldiers appeared to be exceptionally soldierly, from which he concluded they had not been suffering from their long underground confinement. The young officer bowed to Sergeant Mullen and presented him a paper written in excellent English that contained their offer of surrender. After the commanding officer of the greatest registration unit had interrogated the Japanese, he found out that they had not learned of Japan's surrender until a few weeks prior to their capitulation. One of them had found an old American newspaper during one of their nightly water searching four ways out of their hiding places. The Japanese then debated among themselves as the proper and honorable course of action. They decided it was their duty to surrender, and that surrender would be according to the will of the emperor. And they decided that before surrendering, they would check the island for other survivors. Their search paid off. They found two sailors in another cave. After their search, they cleaned up, shaved, put on their best uniforms, and marched forward to surrender January 1st, 1946. On Corregidor, where we'd done the greatest sweeps of any island we ever did to bring it back. But what happens on the island was our men were there in Bataan before the war. They starved themselves. They were starved out there and diseased out there for lack of supplies. God has guaranteed us we will never have a lack of supplies if we will draw on our logistics. By God, it shall supply all your need according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. We may not always agree with what he supplies, but he guarantees us enough. We may be tested. This mission has been in a test since my wife lost her job permanently. She's physically unable to work anymore now, as we now know, but she was laid off and her job was shipped overseas September 13th of last year. But God has continued to supply. My income is by the grace gifts of people who give to support us individually. I don't draw a salary from the mission. Specific grace gifts, as you know, but we have to look to God the Father to do it. What he's kept us going. We'll soon be 6 months since the changeovers. But God has given us 6 months. If this is the last month of ministry, it's the last month of ministry. If he lets it go on 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, whatever, that's up to God the Father. But we have to draw our requisitions on what he has. Having observed the armor, Paul here says it belongs to the Father. Now Paul has stated the reasons believers are to take up all the armor of God, namely that we may be able to triumphantly resist the satanic evil forces. He adds, having accomplished all things, to stand. The Greek participle rendered accomplish is derived from the preposition kata, k-a-t-a, plus e-r-g-a-z-o-m-a-i, Ur Godzomai, and very literally means to work down. So Ur Godzomai, and very literally means to work down, hence. In actual usage in the aorist tense, commonly means having produced, having effected, or having done. A Bible interpretation would be that of having taken up and completely put on the Father's armor. As already instructed, they are to stand. The infinitive translated to stand, S-T-E-N-A-I, stani, is the same infinitive as used in verse 11 where Paul says that you may be able to stand against the methods of the devil. If the Father specifically designed spiritual armor is fully utilized as he intends it to be, believers will be able to thwart, to prevail against, and to defeat all their enemies. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will win the battle for us. As we stand firm, having done this, that we are to remain fixed, set, and firm in a victorious position. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, we'll pick up with verse 14 next class. Now, I know that we'd already gotten down ahead of where we're at, and then we backed up. Backed up for more details. Very important to you if you're going to survive this. Keep that in mind, Father. We thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth, and claim your promise your word will not return void, but accomplish what you designed it for. In Christ's name we pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.